LED.
Okay.
That would be how you can.
Possibly in the pipeline.
Okay.
Now, the new work when they were still talking about Zoom as becoming that. Would it? Oh, yeah, I need one. Okay, are they all connected? Do you know that they were? Put it on that.
You must have said, you must have clearly indicated in the email when you send the form where my people have been.
How was this? No, I'm okay, man. So, yeah.
But, yeah. So,
okay,
yeah,
that's normal. I'm like, not wet. Yeah. I'm like, not wet. Are you going in Pretoria?
No. I'll leave after this month.
Okay.
This week.
Okay. Yeah.
20. I think,
okay. Where's the... I don't know where they are. I don't know. Yeah, there are two. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, pretty good. We need a call. Remember. It's okay. Just take all of this.
Yeah.
When the members come, and just give them.
Yeah,
Good morning, honorable members. I'm sure we can start with our meeting. Good morning, and I'm sure our cell phones are off. Today's meeting is about the presentation by the department on Zimbabwean documentation project. Without any waste of time, we will give over to Tate Monedi, who will be leading the delegation. But we'll first start by introducing himself and the team that is accompanying him. I'm not sure if we are to introduce ourselves first before you introduce yourself. My name is Maggie Maunye, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
I am Masizole Mnasela, a member of this Portfolio Committee. Gelibu.
My name is Per Peterson, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Dumela, Kempoha Sabone, the local Portfolio Committee.
Morning, my name is Peter Peterson, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. My name is Grace Bosman, a member of this committee.
I'm Andre Gaum, a member of the committee.
Good morning, all. My name is Annette Lovemore, also a member of this committee.
Thank you, honourable members. I will give over to Mr. Jack Monedi. As before we do that, we have Mayor Nokaya Mnisi also joining us. Over to you, Ndati.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. Chairperson, may I also take the opportunity to introduce the team from the Department of Foreign Affairs. My name is Ted Monedi. I'm the acting chief director of permits in the Department of Home Affairs.
There's a problem. Come, Mike, here, Hans, Ted Monedi.
Is it not the fact that that yours is on?
No, I just put it on now.
Oh. Morning.
Is your voice?
It's a broadcasting voice. Morning, honorable members, Chairperson. I was saying my name is Jack Munedi. I'm the newly appointed acting chief director permits. I will also request the team that I'm with to also introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Ben Mahalimele from Chief Directorate Permits.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joe, Chief Directorate Permits.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Major Kobes from the Office of the DG.
Over to you, Mr. Munedi, to do the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson and honorable members, we making a presentation on progress with regard to the documentation of the issues that we are going to touch on, they are as follows: the background and the context of the project, the phasing out of the project as we are now leading to the closure of the project, and then the last issue is a way forward on the DZP. We are presenting a high-level overview on the documentation of Zimbabwe's project, which we call DZP. Let me just give a brief background. The permitting function has undergone several changes in the past years, with emphasis on centralizing a certain aspect of the permitting function. Key initiatives in this environment would include, in 2007, the department undergone a turnaround project, which included the vision and design of the new permitting service delivery model. In 2009, the project was also aimed to be automated with regard to my online project. In May 2010, the department took a decision that adjudication of permits will take place at head office, no longer at different regional offices. And in 2010, we started a project that we call permit stabilization. The intention really was to make sure that we run permitting in a normal environment, but part of the stabilization project was to make sure that we document all Zimbabweans who are in South Africa illegally, but also we make sure that we deal with the backlog that was created when the permit adjudication was done in the regions. Another initiative was the amendment to legislation and the finalization of regulations and the implications for permit. Yeah. In terms of the amendment of the legislation, members of the portfolio committee were part of that process, and we thank you for your participation. And now we've got legislation accepted by the president, and the department is now looking at the regulations so that we give effect to the legislation. The other initiative in terms of the permitting environment is the fact that the minister signed a performance agreement with the president, and the department need to facilitate the recruitment of 50,000 skilled workers annually. In terms of the DZP project, I think the country and all members are aware that we started a special dispensation for Zimbabwean nationals in April 2009 to respond to the high inflow of Zimbabweans into South Africa. This was done at a ministerial level between the ministers of Zimbabwe and South Africa at a meeting held on the 17th of June 2010. Key issues that emanated from that discussion was the moratorium on deportation of Zimbabweans and a special dispensation that will assist us in dealing with the socio-economic problems and socio-economic development in Zimbabwe. But both countries will work together jointly to regularize the state of Zimbabwean nationals in South Africa. A joint project to document Zimbabwean nationals. That is why we do have now the stakeholder forum. We've been working with the Zimbabweans at consulate general, but also at political level, minister to minister, but also as us as a public forum. The Zimbabwean government committed itself that it will issue passports to its nationals in South Africa who might not have the passport. South Africa will issue permits to qualify Zimbabwean nationals in terms of the Immigration Act on relaxed requirements. The other background that we can get is that after the special dispensation, which ended in May 2010, documentation of Zimbabweans commenced on the 20th September 2010. And it seeks to achieve the following two issues. One, to regularize undocumented Zimbabweans currently residing in South Africa. Secondly, to relieve pressure from the asylum seeker management system, because because mainly people who don't want to follow strictly the Immigration Act, they think that the asylum seeker management or refugee is the easiest road to follow. So we had to make sure that we really present that regard, and we make sure that we can have the dispensation to assist Zimbabweans to be able to be in the country. When we started with the project, we did not have, even the whole country, there were speculations about millions and millions of Zimbabweans in South Africa, but we started without any accurate and reliable data in terms of how many Zimbabweans are in South Africa. And this really posed a serious challenge for the country and for the migrants as well, because we did not really know how many Zimbabweans are in South Africa. So everybody was just speculating in terms of the number of them who are in South Africa. Within the DZP, there were three categories of permits that are considered by the department, namely the business permit, the study permit, and the work permit, and they are the categories under our permit. Also, we relaxed the requirements so that we can shorten the process by making sure that we can receive applications. So we did receive applications, even if they were not qualifying, but we are just making sure that every Zimbabwean comes to the floor, come to the fore, and we are able to register the person. This will allow us at a later stage to submit, for them to submit a supporting document, and for us to be able to take fingerprints, so that our database can be reliable, and we can be able to also get other state agencies to assist us with regards to this project. We also, during 2010, received applications from the Zimbabwean consulate NGOs that are here today, and we need to say thanks to them because they've also assisted us in this project. We also had interactions with the farmers across the country, particularly in Limpopo, where they were able to assist us to get as many Zimbabweans as possible who are in South Africa. So we can say that through this process, we're able to document 275762, that is the application that we received. And this is the number that we are working upon, because this is the number that indicates the Zimbabweans who wanted to take advantage of the DZP. After the 31st December 2010, all applications were dispatched to head office, regardless of unavailability of supporting documents. So that is what we call pre-adjudication. We made sure that we can be able to pre-adjudicate them, but when the project closed after the 31st, we are then able to match the applications with the supporting documents that are submitted. Taking the matters forward, we have said that during the project, we ran a very good teleconference system where we were able to develop a network and work with various offices to make sure that on a daily basis we are able to receive applications and front offices are able to be assisted so that we can improve into the compliance. Because we haven't closed the project as yet in terms of us matching those who came forward and the supporting documents, so we are saying as a matter of taking this process with this logical conclusion, we have reinstated the teleconference so that we are able to pick up on those that haven't come forward. And you'll see in terms of the statistics. We have also said that we need to continue with the short messaging system, the SMSs, to give notice to Zimbabweans so that they can be able to submit outstanding supporting documents and fingerprints. Now, our offices, as we speak, are inundated with Zimbabweans who are coming forward, who are responding to the specific SMS that says to the person, you did not submit a letter of employment because you claim that you are employed. If you claim that you are employed, then you must come up with a supporting document, all being a form of offer of employment. And when that person comes to the office, we are able to match the previous application that he made with the offer of employment. Then we can issue the work permit. Another supporting document relates to the study permit. If the person, if a Zimbabwean says, I'm studying in South Africa, we just request that give us a copy of the admission letter so that you can be able to match your application with this admission letter. Then you can issue a study permit. Those who are running businesses, we can be able to check whether they are really running businesses, and those businesses are registered the South African Reserve Bank, South African Revenue Services, and we are able then to issue a business permit. So this SMS Israel has assisted us through by contacting the Zimbabwe so that they can forward, they can come forward. Now we have been matching the SMSs and being able to verify or validate the compliance in order to issue a permit. So it doesn't mean that if you are a Zimbabwe, it means there's automatic issuance of a permit. We need to satisfy ourselves that as you claimed in your early application, you are able to say to us, these are the supporting documents that we can be able to do. We have also organized the Zimbabwe Stakeholder Forum. The meeting was scheduled for the 19th, but because of this appearance, we have now postponed it to next week. The intention of this meeting, because when we started, we involved the Zimbabwean government, NGOs, and other stakeholders, so that they can assist us to mobilize people to come forward. Now, at this stage of the project, we are also trying to get the stakeholder for the role players to mobilize further the Zimbabweans that we did not reach through the SMSs. Also, as we move forward, is the issue of the amnesty applications for people who surrendered their application for asylum, and for those people who came forward and said, we defrauded your document. So as we defrauded your document, here we are submitting them to you so that you can legalize us in South Africa. So the application amnesty confirmation forms are collected by offices to make sure that we match the documents that were submitted or surrendered with those amnesty confirmation forms. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be preoccupied with clients who came forward for pre-adjudication. We'll be trying to match those applications with the documents that were submitted earlier on. Now, we are now at a phase of phasing out the disability project, and I need to say, please underline the word phasing out. We are phasing it out, meaning that we are coming to the conclusion of the project. So what we are saying is that we have now done verification, and we have tried to make sure that applicants who applied using other Zimbabwean entities such as ID documents, birth certificates, driver's licenses, expired Zimbabwean documents, we categorize them. We are able to have information with regard to those people who submitted this kind of document. We are also taking the applicants that applied with those supporting documents. We have also classified them and give the statistics with regard to those people, so that when we need to be specific with regard to the spending documents, we can be able to share with stakeholders and members of parliament what are those. Also, those who have complete applications with only fingerprints of spending, we've got that data we can share with the committee. Also, the details of applicants waiting for government passports, we have that information, but also this information is fed with the Zimbabwean consulate so that they can be able to see their progress with regard to issuing passports to Zimbabwe. We have had discussions with financial institutions. The intention there was to make sure that we also alert them that many Zimbabweans came to open banks, their lives have been running. But they were using documents that are not authentic, they were using fraudulent documents. So at this stage, we are going to meet with the banks again and say, these are the list of people that was issued to asylum. These are the people that came forward. Now, these are the regularized people. Now, look into your database so that you can change the details of those people. Because the banks were saying to us, these people might be a threat to us because they came with fraudulent documents to us. So we are working with the bank just to make sure that our financial institutions are not compromised as a result of the inflow of Zimbabweans into South Africa. We have also done the same thing with the Department of Transport with regard to verification of driver's licenses. So the intention here is also to make sure that Zimbabweans who are driving in South Africa continue doing their lives in terms of the Department of Transport. Also, the Department of Transport benefits out of this project. And then we also say that we'll be testing this SMS, because we realize that some of the SMSs didn't go through, and I see in the statistics that some of them didn't go through, but also some people did not submit correct file number. So it's going to be a serious problem for us when we need to contact them. In terms of the statistics, the numbers that we've always recorded and been consistent with it is that we received 2,562 applications. Out of those applications, we have approved and issued 134,369 permits. So these are the people who came forward and who qualified, who submitted all the supporting documents, and that were able to issue with permits. So their lives are continuing in South Africa, and they are now legal. As I said earlier on, there are people that we pre-adjudicated and checklisted against the compliance. The number is 141393. And then with regard to communication, SMSs that we sent to applicants is about 131658. SMS that didn't go through is about 2,094. Now, applicants who responded to SMSs is a mere 43,133. These are the applicants who came forward to say we are coming to submit the outstanding documents. Responses most to applications is about 7,163. We are admitting that this number is low, and we are waiting around the clock the whole of September to make sure that we match applications with the supporting documents. Permit issued is 559. We admit this number is very low, but this number is tested the 8th of September. So, as we speak, the mother might have gone up. But I don't think it's a substantial number. There's still a lot of work to be done for us to be able to increase that 559 with that 141393. But I need to indicate, Chairperson, that some of the Zimbabweans who are calling us telephonically, they're indicating to us that I don't have work, but I applied for PZP. Now, it says to us, some of them are unemployed, but they want to qualify for the work permit. And we shall find it difficult as a department to issue somebody with a work permit, the person who is not working. So it's a matter that we will get a directive from the minister. We also indicate to you the amnesty application received, which is about 6.2, and then the asylum seeker rendered, which is about 49,000. But also, honorable members, we do have the statistics with regard to the people that have been aided because they've given us fingerprints. There are those who have been involved in criminal activities, and we do have a database that we can share with the law enforcement agencies. The slide that is indicated there is showing to us the segregated number of incomplete applications. We've been able to sort them, and the total at 116,960. The number of applicants who already applied for Zimbabwean passports, 28,000. Applicants who used various documents in the application, 15,066. Applicants who applied for supporting documents, 17,596. Complete applicants with only fingerprint and spending, 56,254. So this number is not static. It is current because every day the Zimbabweans come to our offices and they do submit outstanding documents. So the numbers will fluctuate as they respond to our SMSs. In conclusion, Chairperson, this is just a progress report with regard to the DZP, so that members of the portfolio committee can be able to watch development and also in conclusion can even indicate that there are still some facing out initiatives that are in progress, so the project is not yet complete with regard to making submitted applications with outstanding documents. And you are saying, Chairperson, that the final closing report will be presented to the minister, and after that, the clear direction will be pronounced by the minister. So the intention of the report here it is just to make sure that members of the committee are aware of the development. What will happen is that
by the end of this month, as we are doing water preparation, we will present a closing up report to the minister, and the minister will also give directions with regard to people who did not come forward, and also with regard to people who applied, but they did not have a plan for putting the document. So that one, it will need the minister to pronounce on it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Munyoni. Honourable members, that was the presentation by the department. It is now time for comments, questions. I notice Honourable Lavmo, Honourable Gam, Honourable Masela.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Mr. Monedi. Mr. Monedi, first of all, you made no mention of the SANDF deployees to your department. It was in the media and in a statement by your Director General that 850 members of the South African National Defence Force were deployed to your department to assist with the finalisation of the ZDP, or DZP as you call it, and with permits generally. Won't you just tell us a little bit more about that, exactly what they are being used for. Referring to slide 6, the permits that are being issued to the Zimbabweans, how long are they valid for? The study permits, I presume, duration of study, but business and work permits, how long are they valid for? You mentioned on slide 6 the number, and elsewhere, the number that that applied. Do you have a number of Zimbabweans who applied for permits? Do you have any idea how many people did not apply? Because if I did not have a job, if I were in the country illegally, all this would do would be to expose me, so I wouldn't apply. Do you have any idea how many did not apply? On slide 7, you spoke about fraudulent documents. What documents were fraudulent? Where people applied for amnesty because they had used fraudulent documents. What documents were fraudulent? Were they South African ID, South African what? And what was the extent of that? On slide 8, you spoke about, and towards the end of the towards the end of the presentation, you spoke about awaiting Zimbabwean passports, applicants without documents, etc., and the closure of the project. What is the time frame here? Have you given the Zimbabwean consulate a time frame by which passports must be submitted? Otherwise, what is the time frame for the closure? And then, lastly, Chair, on slide 9. Yes, the number of permits issued is extremely low, and I as I think many of my colleagues, am starting to be inundated by very, very anxious Zimbabweans and very, very anxious employers of Zimbabweans. Chair, Mr. Monedi indicated that the 18% of the total applications, in the case of 18% of the total applications, asylum seeker status was surrendered, which means that 82%, in other words, 82% of the applicants were in fact in South Africa illegally. Only 18% had asylum seeker status. So 82% were in South Africa illegally. Am I correct in saying that? Mr. Monedi also mentioned that he got a call from, or there have been calls from people who are not working and therefore cannot be eligible for any permit, which is understandable, but my concern is that people were made to, people who had asylum status, asylum seeker status, were made to surrender that if they wished to apply. Once they've applied and they've signed the form saying, I hereby surrender my asylum seeker status, they get refused for the permit on whatever basis, if they're not working or whatever is not in order, they now have no legal status in South Africa and they have now rendered themselves illegal, whereas they were previously legal. What happens to people like that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jane. I'd just like to know, first of all, you're talking about the final closing report that will be presented to the minister and so on, and there's a period of next 2 weeks mentioned earlier in the document. When is this? Is there a date when this whole project will basically come to an end? You dealt with the question, what happens afterwards if people have applied but haven't come forward with the relevant documentation. So I understand that the minister must make a call as far as that matter is concerned. Then as far as the amnesty period is concerned, I'd just like to know, when did, what was that period? Has it come to an end now? Is it still running? What exactly is the situation with regard to that? I think that is basically what I want to know at this stage. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Munedi, my questions will somehow be general on the issue of permitting as a whole, seeing that you are acting chief director in the position, which we welcome, sir. The problem here, which I find very challenging, is to what extent do you trace in general those individuals who have sojourned in South Africa without being recognized either as asylum seekers or having been afforded the opportunity of being declared refugees. So because the challenge is that this Zimbabwean project was simply a Zimbabwean project and no other foreigners were subjected to or afforded the same opportunity. Now, do you know the number of foreigners in South Africa? So that, especially those that are illegal, how many, if you have any clue? And then you also said that Zimbabweans in general who came forward were the only ones that were able to detect whether or not were compliant or not compliant. But you're not saying anything about those who never came forward for them to be properly recorded as statistics which we can rely on. Now, in this meeting, are you able to tell us what is the official number of specifically Zimbabweans who are in South Africa today, legal or illegal? The issue of work permits, Sebastian, I think you will recall we've been engaging on this a number of times. And my problem is that the DG, I'm happy that he is here, Mr. Aplene. We have complained, I've personally sent complaints to your office and the minister about two Zimbabwean foreigners who are working in one of the schools in Khayelitsha, in Christine High School. And since January, Chairperson, they have never been paid by the Department of Education. The reason for that, which the minister find appalling, is that the Department of Home Affairs has not issued them with work permits, regardless of the fact that they are, in fact, working. Chairperson, I think in ending my comment and the questions here, there should be an opportunity where we engage thoroughly on why do we find ourselves in this problem as South Africans, where we can't document people properly, where we've got so many people flooding into our country, and of course the xenophobic violence that we've seen in 2008. Because it then brings us to this document, the 1951 UN Convention on Refugees, which I find it very interesting that in 1996, on the 12th of January, South Africa signed the document without any reservations. And if you look at the articles, 13 up to 39 to be precise, it's quite a very interesting document which I think we need to engage both as this committee and parliament, especially when it comes to creating awareness in the communities where people think that foreigners or refugees don't have rights to the rights that are afforded by this Bible, which is the 1951 UN Convention on Refugees. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Khotlan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, on page 10, point number 3 and 4, where applicants who applied without supporting documents, that is the total number, and the complete applications is only fingerprints outstanding, that's the total number. This brings to my question, which is what is the time frame for this particular project? It's not clear in the document what is the time frame for it. And secondly, Chair, there are Zimbabweans who had fraudulent documents. Who was responsible for issuing these fraudulent documents, and what are the steps taken for those who produce the fraudulent documents? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. DG, you are welcome to our meeting. Those are the questions that were asked by Honourable Members. You will come the second round, Honourable Lovemore. DG, there was a question that was asked by Honourable Lovemore, especially with regard to the deployment of SADF, I'm not sure, in the department, of which I don't think the acting chief director will be able to respond to that one. Maybe you will assist us with that particular question. And Tate Monedi, over to you.
Well, thank you, Chair. Let me first apologize, really. Hey, there are too many things, Chair, but I try to push and make sure that at least I thought I would come immediately after the presentation. Chair, because the presentation was prepared based on the department, so I know what is in it. So I'll be able to respond to the question. But I will give us as well, I was not here. But I think let me start with the one of the Zimbabwe. I think the minister also responded into a parliamentary question, maybe has not yet reached the member. Chairperson will recall in the last meeting, this question was raised, and we responded to it as a department. To say the department is really wanting to get out in working in silos. We are one government. We've got one objective. This current government has got 12 outcomes. In those 12 outcomes, as the Department of Home Affairs, we are participating or we are contributing to the one that says all South Africans are and feel safe. Secondly, the Department of Home Affairs is part of the JCPS cluster, which before were part of an administrative cluster. But because of the realization that a Department of Home Affairs is one of those key departments in providing security in this country. So by doing that, it helps us now to work in a collaborative manner. I think it's also understood that defense, Cabinet took a decision to deploy defense in our borderline, and us were in a border post, but it means we must work together. Secondly, Chair, we had a situation in the Department of Home Affairs which was not healthy, where we're appointing contract workers from the street without vetting them and all that, come and work in a security department like Home Affairs, and we sit with all issues of corruption, and we don't know where they come from which angle. Hence, a decision has been taken by the department that if we can get an assistance in any department which is in the JCPS cluster, we'll do so. Firstly, during the World Cup, which is known, we developed a movement control system with SARS, which is part of the JCPS cluster. Secondly, Chair, in the border post during the strike, we worked with police. Police were sitting in our counters processing people because they are in the JCPS cluster. In this instance, Chair, we are working with defense to assist us to clean and close this project which we're talking about. That's why we approach defense and request resources for them. And so we are still going to go with that process wherever we've taken a decision in the Department of Home Affairs because of the nature of the duties of the department that we will never again appoint a contract worker in a Department of Home Affairs. We will only be getting assistance on the JCPS cluster. Secondly, Chair, another project we are driving in the department, which unfortunately is not easy for us to complete that because we are dependent to the Department of State Security, is to make sure that all of our employees are vetted because of our nature of the department. So that was the reason, Chair, which we are saying we are getting to defense. So currently, I think we've got about 340 members, which we've got for the project. Once we finish that, we're going to let them go. But in December, Chair, during the festive season, because again, we can't appoint too many people for those seasons, we will go either to police or to defense and deploy them in our ports of entry to assist us just for those seasonal areas. So that is the reason, Chair, with which we are doing that. Secondly, Chair, there's a question which says, what did we do with people who did not apply? Mm. Chair, we on record that we do not know how many people are in our country illegally. We're on record. Hence, Chair, the cabinet took a decision and said, to resolve this issue, we need first to deploy a defense in the borderline so that we protect that, so that no people must be able to come through our porous borders, because it won't make us to be able to know what the number we have. Then if people are only coming now through a port of entry, then we will know that number. However, there was a number which was projected and said there's about 4 million of Zimbabweans which are in the country. But when we're doing the project, only 275 who applied. If they decided, Chair, not to apply, it is at their own evolution. We can't force them. But we said, come close of this project, everyone who's in our country illegal, including the Zimbabweans, will apply our immigration law. If, Chair, you look at the statistics, that the number that we have only processed 141, but look at the number of SMSs which we have sent, 131, but the responses is only 43. So it even tells you that even in that number, those Zimbabweans are not coming to the floor because they are not meeting the criteria. That's what it means, if you read that, to say we received 275, 141 has been given their permit. 131 have been contacted on their SMSs, but they're not coming back. It says even that number shows to us that it means people, they do not meet the criteria which we have. But as we said, that unfortunately, this country has got this size of economy, and based on that, we have to deal with that, that those people who choose not to apply, we have to apply, but not only to Zimbabweans, to any national who is in our country illegally. We have to apply the immigration laws of this country. So, Chair, we do not know how many Zimbabweans who did not apply, and we do not have that record, and we've been saying that many a times, that we do not have. But yet the processes which we are putting in place now are the ones which will assist us to be able to know going to the future, because now we're trying to close our porous borders. Chair, the issue of the Zimbabweans which have not been issued with the permit, I think, Chair, I'm responding by saying, one of those members was issued with the permit, a teacher. We are on record, we checked it, we called the principal, I've been liaising with the principal. We have issued the permit to one of the Zimbabweans. The second one, Chair, where you can see that it is problematic that people, they don't respect our immigration laws. How is a person working when he doesn't have a permit? It just shows that people are just ignoring our laws, because that should not have happened. And then secondly, the person who have not issued the permit, the second teacher, is because that matter, there were issues that have been taken on appeal. There is a reason why that permit has not been issued. But the schools are able to take anyone in our country, they just ignore our laws and take people to work without a permit. That is not allowed. Applications, what is the time frame for the project? Chair, we indicated the project, that the project, as far as receiving the application, was closed in December. Secondly, Chair, we have adjudicated. If you look at our stats, we have pre-adjudicated all the funding. I was left with a small number of what we have not adjudicated. So that in that score, we have completed the project. What we're waiting for is for people to respond back to us, which is the number now we're showing that they are not responding. But we'll recall, Chair, we said by September, we will finalize the project, submit to the minister and explain that, minister, this is what we have done. No application we have not adjudicated. Nobody we have not sent an SMS. We have sent SMS to everybody, but these people have not responded, and then the minister is going to look at that. So the target date, as we indicated in the last meeting, was that is end of September. So by end of September, which is next week, we'll be submitting a final report to the minister, and then based on that, the minister is going to evaluate those, because you'll recall that even the people who were their applications were not approved. We said after it was at a DG's level now, but in the final report which goes to the minister, would be saying this applicant was not approved because of this reason, but this person has appealed, and then the minister is going to look at that and take a decision and close it by end of September. With the fraudulent documents, it's the same thing. We've got a number there, 6,243 of documents we have received. That's the process, as we indicated, that we're working with the police, we're working with the banks, because we need to know whether this ID behind it has got a certificate. Maybe that person studied in a university using that fraudulent ID. Maybe a person has opened a bank account and all that. So all those things are being now evaluated, and then we'll go to the minister, and then the minister, by end of September, he will get the report and take a decision to close the project. So, Chair, in a nutshell, we're saying by end of September, the project will be closed, in a manner that we'll be submitting to the minister the end results of the project in terms of how many have been issued, how many have been declined, how many have been appealed, and then how many who did not respond to the SMSs which we have sent to those numbers which we have, and then the minister will take it. Chair, I'm sure now Mr. They can take now the other questions.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the duration of the business and work permit, Honorable AFMO, is 4 years. The answer with regard to how many did not apply, we don't know. As the DG is saying, we're unable to give indication of how many people are illegal in South Africa. Fraudulent documents, this is all our documents, but range from passports, IDs, birth certificates. So when people are desperate about seeking our citizenship, they just use any means to access our national population register. I think the issue of the time frames for passport applications, the DG has indicated to that end of September, we are closing down. If there is no response with regard to passports that we require the Malian government to issue to its nationals, there's nothing we can do about it.
but at least through the stakeholder forum, we are able to sensitize them. The 82% is with regard, the 18% with regard to the number of total applications, which means that we have some people who went through the asylum or the refugee route instead of them coming straight through the Immigration Act, because most of them really did not qualify for the status, and they thought Section 22 permits are easy to come by, because there you don't apply the Immigration Act, you just use the Refugee Act, which says I'm being persecuted in my country, and then we issue you with that permit. But we've been able to say to them that's not sustainable, because we are going to investigate. Even if you can obtain it illegally, we are going to investigate through our immigration, through our inspectorate, and we'll be able to find out whether this thing is correct or not. But I think the question is also linked to the issue of how do we trace people who are illegal? And there's a general question. We do have inspectorate. So even in this project, we do have inspectorate that is helping us for those that have criminal records, for those that the police will want them. So we are collaborating, as the DG said, we are working within the JPS cluster. The asylum route, I think I've done that one, but yes, now they thought that they were legal when they used the asylum route. But the fact is, even this project is going to legitimize people who are illegal. If they obtain the asylum seeker or refugee status illegal, they will be able to discover that. And we are saying, let them follow the process. If they are not following the process, the Immigration Act, they are illegal, they need to be dealt with according to the law. So we encourage them to come forward so that we know really people in South Africa here legally. And that's the interest of everybody, that people when they're in South Africa, they are here within the legal framework. Okay, I think that's what DG has responded to many of those. And why do we find ourselves in this situation? I think the overarching reason is South Africa's geopolitical position. People see South Africa as a country where they can have many opportunities that are not there in their own country. But the difficult situation for us is to be able to develop a permitting environment in which they can be able to be legalized, and those who qualify, they can stay here, and we can know the number, we can know what are they doing, we can know where they are, and we'll work together with the inspectorate or law enforcement to make sure that we do that. Okay. Yeah. I think the other
one. What will happen to the officials who participated in this process? As a department, we are clear in terms of dealing with issues of corruption. The only thing which we have said is that with the person who received that document, then them that are getting an amnesty won't ask. It's not a requirement that they must come to us and say, I received this document through this particular individual, them that are given that amnesty. But our own officials, we cannot promote fraud and corruption in the department. How we're going to be able to catch them is only the issue might be a time factor. Because we implemented that system, we called it Beckham, where you use your fingerprints in order to process any document. If it is within that period, we'll be able to know who is the official who issued that fraudulent document, and we'll deal with those officials. As we are on record, we've been now, I think in the past 2-3 weeks, we've arrested about 11 officials in our department based on these collaborative efforts we are dealing with it. So if the official, that document was issued within the period where we implemented the BACAM system and we are aware who was involved in that, we will deal with those officials. Not unless it is in the period where we're not able to have that system. So that's what we'll be dealing with. Thanks.
Thank you, DG.
Mr.
the amnesty period?
No, amnesty period is only to that document which we have submitted. So once now I had the fraudulent ID, we're going to legalize you in terms of the process and take that document. It ended there. There's no one now can rock up after 31st of December and say, I had this document which I received fraudulently. That it is not. Those people deal with them. So it ended on 31st of December 2010.
TG, whilst we are on this project, yes, what about the nationals from other countries? Are they also part of this project, or do you have, or when are they going to be registered? Honorable Lovemore.
Thank you, Chair. I think probably the other question that I wanted to ask ties in with that. Reference was made on slide four, to the permit stabilization project, which started in December 2010, which we've never heard of. And sometimes it really shocks me that this committee has not heard of these things, which are obviously major initiatives within the department. What is the permit stabilization project? And Chair, there is no indication anywhere, unless I've missed it, on the number of permits that have actually been rejected, or the number of applications that have been rejected. On slide 9, there are the total applications received and the total applications approved and pre-adjudicated adds up to the total applications received. There's no applications rejected. Were there any, and what was the number, and on what sort of basis generally? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, yes, the number of questions have been responded to. It's just that the follow-up question is, do you think, Mr. Director General, this document, which I referred to the UN Convention on Refugees, do you think that has created problems for the department? And the other question is, when you look into the project, the Zimbabwean dispensation project itself as a program, do you think that this project has succeeded? Has it met your objectives, or has it failed you? So that is a very open and a clear question. Thank you.
Did you may respond?
Stabilization project, I think in our, maybe in the strategic plan, maybe didn't explain it proper, but I thought it was there. You'll remember that there was an issue that the department had a backlog on the issuance of the permits. And to do that, I think we reported that firstly the decision we took was to centralize the issuing of the permits, because permits, they end up with people having the citizenship of the country. But that decision was taken at a lower level in the provinces, and as well as the corruption which was going through that. That's what we reported. Then we had now to stabilize what we have. So that's what now the permit stabilization project is talking about. Then in terms of what application are rejected, yes, you remember our issue was that there was an appeal process. So we said we wanted that everything must first go to the minister at the end of the project. That's why we were clear that no Zimbabwean is going to be deported between 31st of December up to the time when we close the project. After the ministers even looked at those applications which were rejected. So when we say adjudicated, we include all of them. But you know, after that, we're going to sift those, and then the minister is going to take a decision and say, yes, you rejected this application, let me read the circumstances. Then after that decision is taken, it's then that will give the number of what has been rejected. That was the reason. maybe at the UN Convention document, I didn't get which one you mentioned. However, what as a country, remember, we are the signatory on this UN Convention. So as a country, we participated in the development of that. We participated in the provisions of those. But we have to comply. Hence, we are saying, as a country, we cannot go against the conventions which we have part and signed for them. A DZP project, is it a success or is it a failure? I think from the government point of view, it is a success. Why? We were saying with the project, we want to give a human dignity to our neighboring countries. That's what we're looking for. So we were giving opportunity to the Zimbabweans who are in our country in a legal way, that we need to regularize them, we must bring back the dignity to them, which now we are able to stand up and say 134,000, they are not running away, they are in our country. However, we were not saying we are promoting the issue of illegal immigration in the country. So if there are people who decide that they know themselves that they are illegal but in the country, hence they could not apply, and any national who is in our country. That's one of the questions which was asked by the chair, and I want to come back to it. What are we going to do with the other nationals? Minister was on record that we will look at other countries, but we're starting with the Zimbabwean project. That now we've closed it. Then I'm going to look at other countries. And Chair, as you'll recall as well, that there is a project which we're dealing with it of profiling people who are staying next to our borderline. So that now we can know who is there, what are the circumstances for those people who are there, so that at the end of the day, our interest is to really legalize people who are in our country. So the next countries will be coming. But as I'm saying, when the minister closes it in end of September, he might take a decision and say, that will finish now the Zimbabwean project. This is the next country. But they are coming.
I must say thank you, Titi. I understand you came very late. Yeah, my question has not been responded to on this document I'm talking about. And I'm sure Major can assist. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it was a challenge. But let me further say you took a risk of being generic in response. But thanks for that response about the two foreigners. I think we'll talk about it outside the meeting. I think there are some challenges there. Chair, but also before Major comes in, I think the reality here is that you can never say you comply with that document which Major is going to talk to, and on the other side, to what Honorable Lavma was saying, which nobody says it is not true, that the people who were asked to come and declare and even be part of that process of the dispensation project were taken away. They had lost their status of being asylum seekers because they had to be sent back if they did not comply with the process that you're trying to deal with now. That if you are illegal, go home. If you are legal, then we are going to find a way to recognize that. Because the situation is that if you are a refugee, whether you are recognized as a refugee 10 or 20 or 50 years later, the fact that you are only recognized then, it actually says to you as a person that you have always been a refugee from the time you applied. It's just that the country took longer to recognize you as a receiving country. Now, the challenge is when you deny that person that opportunity, and later on the person appeals, we have a problem with the appeals authority. Now, there are challenges, and I do not want to blame the officials here today, because I think this process also is the issue of Uthman Thule.
No, but we are not clear, Honorable Marcella. Sorry to interject, because I'm not clear as to Are we talking about Zimbabweans or are we talking about asylum seekers, refugees? I don't know, where are we now?
No, we...
Can you clarify us?
We are talking, thank you. I thought the member was saying I'm a shutter. We are talking about Zimbabweans who have applied for a status of being an asylum seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, they were hoping to become refugees, some of them. So, which is, this process came about because we wanted to determine the economic or, you know, whether they are economic migrants or whatever. But the reality is, the question is talking to the rights of a person who wants to become a refugee, who have come into the country, and now when you introduce this project, and because when we introduced this project, you said to those people who applied for asylum seekers, to be asylum seekers, come. Then you are saying Honorable Lavmo was misleading you. Because that question has not been responded to.
Maybe you need to respond to that question.
Yes, not on the document.
But maybe also, DJ, before you come in, we also need to clarify ourselves as to who is an asylum seeker, who is a refugee first. Then we'll get answers to that. Honorable DG.
Yeah. In fact, that's what I wanted to come to.
Before you come in, I'm sorry. Honorable Gossman.
Yes, I think we requested a report in terms of the progress around the Zimbabwean issue, of which we got, and there are issues that we are supposed to raise in terms of questioning the report itself. But I think we are expanding beyond the report itself. And Chair, we need to be careful. There is a certain aspect of responsibility assigned to officials, and there are those that are assigned to us as politicians, and we need to differentiate on that in terms of our asking of questions. I do not think the DG is the one who signed that convention. It was a leader politically who did sign that on behalf of the country, and that is where we need to focus our questions in terms of the understanding of what we have signed for. Secondly, Chen, if we're talking around the issue of Zimbabweans that have applied, and we have laws as this country as well, to say despite the fact that we agree to certain agreements that we have signed, we have to regulate that as to how they happen in our country. It doesn't necessarily mean everybody that has applied is a given that that particular person should be then given an approval on whatever application is made. If you decide to have a certain permit and change from the status that you were in, and you are allowed that opportunity by a certain country, if you do that, Chair, and you get the status, and those that do not then get an approval on that status, it is clear, Chair, we can't keep them here when they do not have proper documentation. And by sending people back, we're not throwing people in a dustbin. They are going back to their own countries. And if there need be a negotiation and talks around those particular people, let that be. But, Chair, I come back from what we've done last week, I think. Honorable Ngasela, you were there. We took some rounds. We've seen, and we got presentation, how many of South Africans are in the same status that we are talking. And I never heard us making this much noise. Yet we are killing ourselves about the Zimbabweans. And yes, they are Africans, they are our own, they belong in this continent, we care for them. In fact, we are the first one to say African Renaissance. And we will keep on saying that. But can we be allowed to do it in a manner that is then dignified, that will also leave our country with the dignity it deserves? Not an open cast, open, that particular openness that we are expected to do it. Not a single country is doing what we are doing. None of the countries can claim to be doing what we are doing. And yes, we would want this particular process and project to be speeded up so that we conclude on this matter and we move on. Other things, leave them for politicians to engage and further come back with that what has to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Postman. Honorable Gam.
Thanks, Chair. Just two quick questions. The one is, how was the cooperation from Zimbabwe in terms of providing the relevant documentation? Is that to an extent maybe a problem that some of these people who are not coming back can't get the documentation from Zim? I know there's been agreement between the two governments that Zimbabwe will provide the necessary documentation. And the last one is, I understand it when you say when the final report has been submitted to the minister that she will then have to decide, I presume, on what happens if people arrive late now with their documentation and stuff like that after end of September. But my question is, you know, what about those who are not replying because they don't have, or because they're actually illegal in some other way, maybe that they're not even Zimbabweans because we don't know if we don't have the documentation, fingerprints, whatever the case may be. Will this inspectorate go to the places where they indicated that they stay and actually make a plan with them, deport them, or whatever the case may be, or will they just be allowed to continue staying illegally in the country? Thanks.
I'm not sure whether it's DG was going to respond on acting chief director.
You, Mr. Chair, that we've got the statistics here to say how many, because we're looking now at firstly what is the total number, which is that 116 of what we have not, we have to analyze it and check who has applied without a passport, and who has applied using a particular document, who has applied without any supporting document, who has applied without. So this, remember that we have a stakeholder forum between ourselves and the Civil Society of Zimbabwe, which is here, and as well as the embassy to deal with this matter, so that they know that these are the people who have applied. So according to us, it's only 28,000 who have applied for the passport. The rest have not. Which links now with your second question, because people, they understood at that time that if I applied, I won't be deported as long as I've got that slip it says I've applied for a project. But the time is going to come where that person is not able to produce. At the end is when I remain as an illegal. So as we process our process of getting who is illegal in our country, if our inspectorate meet with that person on the street beyond the date of the day where the minister now will give us and say this was the time where people are supposed to be submitted the document and that person has not, then that's why we deal with it. And Chair will recall that when we're dealing with the amendment in the Immigration Act, one of our requests there based on the APP advanced passenger processing system was that cut where we wanted now people to give us their addresses so that it makes it a law that when you come to South Africa you must give us an address where you stay so that we can be able to keep that record for other countries that are doing the same so that if you overstay we'll be able to go to you and get you deported. So that's what we'll be doing here as well, because what we're saying is that no more, I mean, it is clear that what is in the country now, I don't think is a state of affairs which we want. The one which we want is a controlled and managed immigration services. So I said that's what we'll be doing once now, as the actors are passed now, we'll be starting now that when we get to our plane or whatever, we're going to put an address there, which is required by law, to say where are you going to be staying for that period. Once we don't find you there, then we're going to deal with that person who said is keeping you in the address. So that now we can be able to clean this. So that next time, whether by 2 years' time, we must be able to respond to that question. how many illegal immigrants are in our country. We'll be able to give that now, because it will be there, the address, this person never went back and all that, then we can do that. So, this is Zimbabwe, we are still pushing it in terms of cooperating, but if those who did not apply, who might be Zimbabweans and whatever, they will fall to the category that they are not meeting the criteria, they will be deported.
Yeah, thank you, DJ. Honorable Nisi would like to say something, but before you come in, you know, DJ, we visited the Maseru border last week, and we were told that because of that, remember the project that we terminated of photocopies, then there was the, I mean, you agreed that people from Lesotho should come with their passports instead of those. And it's a problem because I understand that it takes 2 years for the Lesothos to get their passports. Now they come into the country illegal. They still use the old way of crossing into South Africa, which is a problem. We don't have the defense force deployed along that port of entry. People just go through the fence into the country. That's number one. Number two is that the people came in the country using a Maggie Maunye and go back. The next time I come in, I'm Grace Bosman. I go back. The next day I come in, I am Nokaya Mnisi. So it's a problem. I don't know how we're going to deal with an issue like that. But over to you, Mem Nisi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to know what causes the number of permit issued to be so low. Out of 43,133, they've only managed to issue 559 permits. So I'm very much worried about that. I just need clarity. How are they going to turn around this?
Yeah. Over to you, DJ. I'm sorry I clouded the issues with the Lesotho one. I very much apologize, but I'm curious to know that.
Can I, as a follow-up on my, not a follow-up, but just a clarification on my previous question.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know, DJ, are you going to, what I'm asking is, are you, obviously when these people applied now, I suppose they gave some sort of address where they're staying. So are you going to have a specific follow-up, not inspectors meeting people on the street, but a specific follow-up, okay, we go to this one's address and we you didn't come back to us, so that
you must also recall, you remember on this process, what, maybe I didn't say whether it was it a success or not. You remember the 275 which now they have come, we've already taken the fingerprints, some of them. So now we've got even additional information. Then now we've got the names, we've got the address, some we've got the fingerprints as well. So that is going to help us now to be able to track. And now we've even we want to go even to the RICA process. These people have given us their cell phone numbers. So we will be able to trace that cell phone number at the end of the day. Because as we said to the people prior, that we never hide. And that no come to us, we will be favored, we'll be get a permit. We never said that. We said, you will get a permit that you meet the criteria. In the event that you do not meet the criteria, you will be deported. So that we never hide it and say, people come to us, join this, because we'll get, we were clear, we were saying, we want to legalize those people who are supposed to be in our country. So that's why those processes were open about them. We said, why do we take fingerprints? We even said, why we are taking a fingerprint is to check whether you have any criminal record. If you've got a criminal record, we'll never give our permit on that. We were transparent on those things. So we are not saying it now at the end. From day one, when we are coming up with this project, we were clear. So we hope that there is no Zimbabwean who can say, I was recruited to come into this thing in a manner that I'm going to get a permit. Even the issue of whether you forgo your asylum, it was clear what this project is all about. So we will be going into those addresses. We will be using all what we have and all the information we have to make sure that the people in our country are those who are legal. The issue of the, I'm going to respond on the 5,000, but the one of myself, that's why, Chair, we will recall that we say it is helpful for us that the committee visited. So when we bring these challenges, it's not only on our side. People have seen what is happening. That's why now in the Maseru Bridge, it is really problematic, because when we were implementing this thing of a passport, it was an outcry. People said, no, why do you want us now to go into an immigration officer? But what was happening there in terms of child trafficking, stolen of vehicles, and all those things? Then we tried to say, let's implement this. So remember the outcry to say there are Jews and all that. We said, what about the security of the country? Now, at least they're not going through our border. Now the borderline for defense, that's what I will take back to them, because they prioritize there at the top from the Zimbabwe side and all that. So I'm sure we will take this thing back to them and say, hey, what they can do around that. Because if we do that, in fact, we are told that people, they come to South Africa for two things.
Mm-hmm.
They come to the day to collect the pension and the grant for the children. Then they come again to come and collect the rent on the RDP houses. So those things, we know about them. That's why we're saying we can't continue letting this thing to happen and we turn a blind eye. We need to do something. But we're not pushing people who are prejudiced in their countries. In fact, we had a meeting now with the deputy minister. We were told yesterday that Mr. Mkhize visited the one here, Chair, at Midland. When he gets there, there were two Basutus there. They were in the queue of the asylum seeker. Then they asked, why are you here? No, I'm looking for a job. So I must get this thing, I'm looking for a job. So we cannot promote, Chair, those things. Hence now the committee also is aware, we did talk about it, but we still come with the final details. Why are we saying we need to move our refugee centers from the middle of our country, close to the borderline?
Mm-hmm.
Western Cape, the one we're talking about, is sharing a border with which country? No country where Western Cape is sharing a border with, but we've got a refugee center in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
What are we saying by that?
Mm-hmm.
People must move from Lesotho, move and come to Western Cape. What happens between that and the Western Cape?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is that it's good that the committee see these problems which we are facing and say, when we're trying these measurements, is to say, can we do something which will make that this thing is controlled? So that is a pro. That's why again, we're looking at that and say, we really need to implement. That's why, as we recall in our start plan, we wanted to develop something again for those areas which are like Basutu, where people are crossing every day, those frequent travelers assisting program, so that person. But what we want, Chair, is the fingerprint. Because if we don't take fingerprints in our borderline, you can come today as this person, tomorrow as that, and all that, and then we cannot allow that. So at the end, we'll be implementing that system so that we take your fingerprint, and we'll want our passport even to go to a level of an iris, so that we take you on the passport, it links with that, then we can say that person who is in the passport is exactly the same one who is carrying this passport. So that at the end, we protect this country. That's a responsibility which has been given.
Okay. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. When I made a presentation, I admitted that the number is very low. Even with regard to the way we're running the project, it's a focal point now. What we did was to increase capacity through the defense force. Now, the colleagues from defense, what they are doing, they are now matching the pre-adjudicated applications with the
outstanding documents that are being submitted so that we can issue the permit. So it will depend really on the response rate of the applicants, but also it will depend also on whether people are submitting documents that are matching with the applications. So the number will go up in the next 2 weeks, because as you are closing, as you are facing all the project, it will go down. After I've submitted the presentation, I requested my team to give me the stats as of yesterday, and the number was around 7,000. So which means progressively it will grow up as we deal with the sorted list and we're able to issue permits. So it will go up. If we're invited next time, really, the number will go up. So that is showing low capacity, why we do not have high numbers. But also, let us provide a context to this question of asylum. It was easy for people to seek asylum so that they can gain access to South Africa. Because the Immigration Act is tough. And that reality it has to be underlined. Now, when we started with the amnesty, we are saying to people, if you got it fraudulently, you must come forward. But if you got it on clear ground and then you are persecuted from your country, our system will be able to give you asylum seeker's permit. But once you've got this thing illegally, you must come forward. So it doesn't mean that any Zimbabwean who comes forward and there are good grounds for us to issue asylum will refuse it. No. The rights of the people who are seeking asylum will be upheld by the country, because we are a signatory to the UN Convention. I thought I should just provide that context so that we are able to differentiate from people who are general asylum seekers and those who are only taking chances because they think asylum is the easy route. I think, Major, you can deal with the convention.
Major.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Marcella, as you pose the question, that's a question for debate. Firstly, I think the OAU Convention, the UN Convention, no country has ever raised the problems around them in terms of substance. You remember that the problem we having is around the domestication of the conventions. Once we do not have watertight laws, national laws, then that then tends to weaken how you apply the conventions. I think the problem, the reason why we are doing the review, we've done the amendments to the Refugee Act, is because we have noted some of the weaknesses with our Refugee Act. Yesterday, I came across a situation also was in Midland, where I identified other two problems with our National Refugee Act. You know, that are not, for instance, I'll give a classical example. If an asylum seeker commits a crime in South Africa, you convicted, the department still continue pursuing your asylum application. That's a weakness within the Ottawa Refugee Act, and the convention doesn't say that. It doesn't say you give asylum to criminals.
Yes.
So those are classical examples to say that there are no serious problems with the conventions. I think what we need to do, I agree with you that the portfolio committee in as a study group, they need to sit and discuss as to how are we going to be able, because the department is involved in the process of a policy review of the immigration policy, which will also look at the refugee aspect, is to say how to ensure that if we are designing a new Refugee Act, it's going to be much more tighter, it's going to be much more, I don't know, there are so many things that are said in the conventions that we're not applying in South Africa totally. You know, also, we need to have a very effective training of our immigration officials, because the manner in which they interpret the conventions, it leaves much to be desired. You know, every person has got his own interpretation and application of the convention. So I think those are the problems that we're having, and I agree with you that first discussions need to take place at a study group level, so that then we're able to inform what will be this new legislation that is coming to administer refugees that.
Yeah, thank you. Honorable Marcella, do you still want to say something, followed by Honorable Boston?
Thank you, Sir Boston. The reason why I lifted this from the outset, it is precisely those reasons, sir, that we've got a right to apply our own laws within the prescripts and the bounds under which we have legislated. But the only challenge is when we then begin to tamper with our very own admission by being a signatory to the UN Convention on Refugees. You can never say that the person is a refugee or is an asylum seeker, and the very same person being denied an opportunity to remain an asylum seeker, where which then when the opportunity arrives, that person will either be declared a refugee or not, or otherwise. So I think that is a question which, of course, we are going to have a debate on. I think we need to debate it as politicians in the house. But I was set aback, Chairperson, and we need to deal with that convention in this committee. When I asked the question to the officials, the politician rise and defend, because we are a portfolio committee. We need to debate as a portfolio committee, not to have other one taking another stand to defend the department, especially in a position like this one where we are debating our laws in trying to better the department. So I felt that, because we're trying very hard, Chairperson, and I can feel that everybody is trying very hard, but we don't seem to understand exactly why do we have asylum seekers and why do we have refugees. And these are the things that we all have to understand as a portfolio committee. And I think we still need that day with the department and sit and deal with this throughout, instead of these 2 hours and 1 hour and a half a day. So I think, sir, with all fairness, this matter is going to continue coming up when we have debates like this, because the rights of asylum seekers are undermined in this country. That is my view. Because if you look at the permits, there is a serious backlog, and that is a major problem in this country. So we have to debate these things. And without taking a blame, I mean, without blaming any other person, but taking a responsibility together. Because the teacher, when he speaks all the time, he says we have got a problem, and we must address it. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, Master. I still think we are the best country.
Yeah,
Honorable Postman.
I think we need to then come with a recommendation to share. We need to have an update of what is going on this project, maybe monthly, so that we don't call upon these once in a while. So it should then be that monthly we get an update in terms of what is going on until the project is concluded.
Monthly, why not every second month, maybe?
Yeah.
Every second month.
Yeah, it's fine.
Every second month we get the report.
But that was my proposal.
The proposal that every second month at least we get an update, not only on the Zimbabwean issue, also, but on all the Basotho, all other nationals, you know. Okay. Honorable Lovemore?
Yes, so Chair, I was just going to ask for that, but Chair, I just get so anxious every time we start talking about refugees, because we get very much into the these people kind of mode. These people come to South Africa and abuse the system, and it's an easy route. And of course it's an easy route. We've got laws in place, and they are not being implemented by our department. It is taking up to 7 years to get refugee status, up to 7 years. If I were to choose a country in Africa, I'd choose South Africa as well as an asylum seeker. So we need to look at that. But so it's not just the law that we need to look at, but how are we properly going to implement the law so that we don't abuse people's human rights. But if we can have a regular feedback on that and discussion on that, that would be great, Chair, without any stopping of questioning whether it's political or administration.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, we've come to the end of our meeting. DG, we'd like to thank you and your team for the work that you're busy with, and I know it's a difficult one, but at least you are doing something with regard to addressing the issues that are facing us as a country. We thank you for that with your team. The meeting is adjourned, honorable members, because the House is sitting. We're all going to the House now. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.
No, I'll send you. It's 5:40. Yeah, 11 o'clock. But I'll SMS.
Hello.
Yes, I'm Burgess.
Yes, I'm Burgess. 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 I'm